And would you just stand with me to honor the word, honor the Lord for a moment as we read? Psalm 18, verse 16. He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. You can have a seat. He brought me out into a broad place. Lord, bring us into a broad place in this moment. Like there just needs to be just a slight adjustment in our hearts. It's slight right now. Honor will adjust your spirit. So when you stand and when you honor the word, when you honor the Lord, it will adjust something within you. Honor is a heart check. Do you honor those who the Lord has placed in authority over you? It's a heart check for rebellion. If there's anything unclean, if there's any rebellion within us, Lord, let it be removed. Lord, deliver us. Rebellion will put us into a tight place, but honor will deliver us into a broad place. Samuel 22, verse 1. David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him, and everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. So he became captain over them. And there were about 400 men with him. Pastor Lenny, that's great. That's good. We can, worship team, go sit down, take a break for a minute. Sometimes we'll pray, and we're just not going to use prayer as a transition point. Like, I just didn't feel like we were supposed to do that today. Pastor Stone prayed enough for us this morning. Like, you did. It was great. There's moments of prayer right there. I just feel like we're supposed to dive right in today. And I keep coming back to this passage, 1 Samuel 22. Like, the Lord keeps drawing me back here. And if you've been here for very long these past few months, you know, wow, he talks about this passage a lot. Well, there's something somebody in here hasn't received yet, and they need to receive it. Trust me, there's lots of weeks where I'm like, Lord, I want to go on to this. I want to do this. And he's like, no. This is for somebody today, and they need it. And so I'm not going to move unless he tells me to move. He told me to come back here. I'm going to come right back here. And some of you, you're like, I want to move on to something else. This might be for you. It might be your fault that I'm still here. All right? I love you, but receive this word today. And then guess what? We'll move on to something else. I told Pastor Andrew, oh yeah, I'm going to do this new series called Who Told You That? This isn't really that. This isn't that. So when you're putting this on YouTube, Pastor Andrew, I don't know, make this a standalone. Today's message is called Break the Cycle. Break the Cycle. Get free today. Like, why do we keep coming back here? We just keep circling around. It's like a cycle. It's like a whirlpool. We just keep coming back. We'll break out of it today. Get free today. You're going to get free today in the name of Jesus. Your life is never going to look the same again today. I saw a young man today who I've seen before, who I've known before, and he kind of came up. I was just out here in the lobby, and he came up, and I saw him, but all of a sudden our eyes kind of met, And I started to shake his hand like he was brand new. I was like, who are you? Like, what's your name? He's like, you know me. Like, I've been here. You know me. And all of a sudden it clicked. And I was like, at first I just said, I think it was because you had a hat on. I didn't recognize you. And as I was worshiping over here, I was like, no, it's not the hat. You got the Holy Ghost, man. I don't know what it is, but you're different. I see that in you. And that's what the Lord is doing for somebody in here today. You're going to look so different. People that have known you, people that have seen you, people that have known you most of your life, they're not going to recognize you when they see you later today. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. He had a different smile on him. He had a different joy about him. He talked to me in a way. We've talked before. He was different when I talked with him today. I can't even place it, but I just know it's the Holy Spirit. He's doing a work in him. He's doing a work in his family. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Something happens when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you. He breaks you out of a cycle. He breaks you out of the whirlpool. And he's been giving me this image all week. He's been giving me this image all week. Distress, debt, discontent. And I kept seeing it. And each one builds into the other. Each one plays into the other. And you ever seen one of those like, don't show him anything yet. Who's running my slides up there? Who is that up there? Don't show it, John. All right, John. Yeah, you ever seen like those circle arrow diagrams? Those circular arrow diagrams? All right. And I kept seeing it in my head, and I was like, I need to give the people this image. And I was like, I'm not very good with like Adobe or like creating images. And I'd already kind of bothered Andrew with creating some images this week, like for sermon graphics that I'm not even using and, you know, things like that. I was like, I can do this on my own. And I've been hearing all these people talk about AI. They're like, you can have AI create all these images for you. And so I was seeing like this circular arrow diagram where it goes discontent, distress, debt, and it just kind of goes around and you're just in a circle and you can't break out of it. And John, you see slide attempt number one. Show them attempt number one. This is AI. Here's AI. I'm like, here, this is what I want it to look like. Maybe it'll work. I don't know. It's all right if it doesn't work. Oh, look, that's what it came up with. That is not what I wanted. That looks really stupid. All right, AI? And so they say, just tell AI how to adjust it. And so I told AI how to adjust it. Show it attempt number two. Where's attempt number two? Maybe. Did I put them in wrong? Maybe I put them in wrong. Maybe I showed the images wrong when I was doing all my slides this week. Oh, even worse. Even worse. AI got stupider. Okay, can we keep going, Andrew? What do you think? Attempt number three? What's attempt number three look like? Oh my goodness. Look at this. Okay. Now show them the real one, the top one. You see the top one? Okay. That's what I had. Do you know what AI I used to create that? Me. That was me. All right. I figured it out. AI's not that smart. All right. Look at that. But that's what I just kept seeing in my head. Your distress. In the Hebrew, that distress, that word, it means you're in a tight space. You're confined. You're in a tight space. You feel the pressure building all around you. And so what happens? When you thought you were going to be in a different place in life, and all of a sudden you're in this tight place where you can feel the pressure, what's the temptation? To move into a place of discontentment. And who do you point your discontentment towards? Most of us, we typically point it towards the Lord. If we believe that there is a God, and why has he placed me here? Why is this happening? What is going on? And so we begin to come into this place of discontentment with the Lord. And then when we come into this place of distress and discontentment, what do? We look for a way to cope. We look for a way to get numb. We look for a way to forget about what's going on around us. And so what do? We begin to buy from the world. We begin to cope with what the world is offering. It might be drugs. It might be alcohol. It might be pornography. It might be a relationship. What are we doing? We're going into spiritual debt. and actual physical debt. Some of us are in debt right now because we have been chained up by some type of addiction. Pornography is a billion-dollar industry. There are people going in debt through pornography. I was just reading earlier this week. There are people now that are creating AI boyfriend, girlfriends, and starting relationships with artificial intelligence. They give them a name, and so they can text back and forth with them. And then the free version, you can only get so many. And so they become so addicted to the feeling, they actually begin to pay for a subscription so they can keep these conversations going with their AI boyfriend or girlfriend. So they can even have romantic sexting conversations. This is a real thing happening right now in our world. Because people are caught in a whirlpool of debt, distress, and discontentment, and they don't know how to break out of it. They don't know how to break out of the cycle. I'm telling you, Jesus wants to break you out of that. And then for some of you, you have broken free. But what's the devil always going to do? He's always going to try and pull you back in. He's always going to try and pull you back in. That's what he wants to do. There's this temptation to just say, this is how it's always going to be. This is how it's always going to be. Now here's where I will tie it into who told you that. Who told you that? Who told you it always has to be this way? In the name of Jesus, it does not have to be this way. There's freedom in Christ. Who the Son set free is free indeed. You don't have to live in the cycle anymore. You don't have to go back to the cycle the next time you feel that tightness coming on, that distress. You don't have to go back into a place of discontentment. You don't have to go back into a place of debt. You don't have to spend all your money on something to get numb, on something to catch a feeling, on something to just forget about what you're going through. You don't have to be in debt to the world anymore. Christ paid the debt. You've been set free. Live in freedom. In Mark 11, what happens? Jesus is hanging out with his disciples. They're walking, it says in verse 12. And he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And his disciples heard it. Go down, verse 20. And by the way, if you want my notes, text Rev Notes to 94,000. Rev Notes to 94,000. I got all the scriptures, most of the scriptures. You'll find out when you get there. 11, verse 20. Now in the morning, as they passed by, this is the next day, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. That same fig tree that had leaves, it was now dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." You'll have what you say. Are you speaking life or are you speaking curses? What are you speaking over your life? Oh, it's always going to be this way. Our marriage is always going to be this way. It's always going to be tough. It's always going to be difficult. We're always going to struggle. Oh, our kids, they're always going to be like this. They're always going to be stubborn. They're always going to be rebellious. You'll have what you say. You'll have what you say. I feel the Holy Spirit coming into this moment. You're getting a revelation right now. You've been speaking death. You've been speaking a curse over your life, over your kids. Begin to speak life. Even though you don't see it, what's the Lord tell you to do? When you're looking at a valley of dry bones, prophesy to the dry bones. Speak life over the dry bones. Can these bones move again? Can they? Yeah, they'll come together. He'll put flesh on them. They'll begin to move and come together. Speak life. You'll have what you say. What are you speaking? Oh, it's always going to be this way. I'm always going to be in debt. I'm always going to be in a tight place. Oh, we'll never be able to do this. We'll never be able to go on a vacation. We'll never be able to buy nice things for our kids. We'll never be able to afford that. He's the creator of all things. Why would you put him in a box and say, this is the cap? You'll have what you say. You'll have what you say. Well, I'm always going to struggle. I'm always going to be tempted by that. I'm always going to give in. When the devil comes at me with this, I can't say no. You're right. If that's what you say, that's what you'll have. No, begin to speak life. Begin to say, no, it's not going to be this way. At this time next week, it's not going to be this way again. At this time next month, my life is going to look different. It's not going to be the same. I'm not going to give in anymore. I'm going to look different this day, the next day, the day after that. My life will never be the same again. And even when you fall, what do the righteous do? The righteous get up again. Seven times they fall, seven times they get up. Get up again. You're righteous. The righteousness of Christ dwells within you. Distress, discontent, in debt. That distress word, I told you, it's constraint, it's pressure. There's no pressure in the Spirit. There's no pressure with the Holy Spirit. If you feel pressure, that's not from the Holy Spirit, that's from the world. There's freedom in the Holy Spirit. Understand that. Distress, constraint, pressure, a narrow place, confinement, disability. Where did these people go to meet David? They went and met him in a cave. They went and lived in a cave. Talk about a tight place, a confined place. But even though they were in a confined place in the natural, in the spiritual, David was telling them a vision of the place that God was going to bring them out into. What did I read in Psalm 18 today? He's brought me out into a broad place. He's going to bring you out into a broad place. You might be in a cave right now, but he's bringing you into open spaces. You feel that? That's the Holy Spirit. There's freedom in here today. You ever seen a chiropractor? They just do those little adjustments. The Lord's just doing an adjustment right now on your spirit. You feel that? That's kind of what it sounds like. I don't know if there's a chiropractor in here, but amen, right? Let him adjust you today. Let him adjust your faith today. Just say, Lord, please give me greater faith. He's a good father. He wants to give you good gifts. He does. He wants to bring you out of the narrow place into a broad place, an open place. Discontentment. In the Hebrew, really, what's that word? Bitter. Bitterness. Are you bitter? Are you bitter today? Is there something that you haven't let go of? Is there something that you haven't forgiven? Is there somebody that you need to just release? Forgiveness is not for them, it's for you. You just keep holding them on the line thinking, oh, I'm showing them. I got them. They don't even know. I'm so mad. I'm so angry. You're just holding on to it. And you're like, I'm not letting them go. I'm not letting them off. It's not for them. Most of the time, they don't even know you're mad. Most of the time, they're just waving at you, saying hi, walking through the grocery store when you see them, like, oh, we're good. They don't even know. But in your heart, it's making you sick. It's making you sick. And it's slowly killing you, spiritually and physically. If you hold on to bitterness, it will come out and manifest physically in your body. If you keep holding on to it long enough, there are things that will begin to manifest, diseases, sickness, if you keep holding on to it. Forgiveness is not for them, it's for you. Let them off the hook today. Let them off the line. Release them, because really, it's freedom for you. That word debt. Debt is to deceive, to lead astray. How many of us have bought the lie of debt? We've been deceived by debt. You can live life on credit. You just see what other people have, what other people are doing, and so what do? Well, I can't afford that, but if I get a credit card, I can afford that. I can live that way. I can do those things. I can have those things. What are you doing? At the heart of it, what are you doing? You're coveting. You see and you want and you desire, and so you put yourself into debt because you found yourself in a tight place, in a place of distress, in a place of discontentment. And so now, what are you doing? You're thinking, oh, I'll solve it. I'll get a credit card. It's a whirlpool, right? It's a cycle. And you're just creating a faster moving whirlpool every time you spend a dollar you don't have. And that debt is then creating more distress when those bills come in. And that distress is creating more discontentment. And it just doesn't stop. Break the cycle today in the name of Jesus. One step at a time. Cut up a credit card. Cut it up. Cut it up. Stop living in distress, in debt, in discontent. One of these men who went to live with David back in the very beginning was Joab. Joab ended up becoming the commander of David's army. Think about this. This was a man who, when we look at these people, they went in with distress, discontentment, and debt. But what do we see? As they follow David, they come out of it and they are raised up into a broad place, into an open place. They receive healing. They receive freedom just by being in the presence of David, who was anointed by the Holy Spirit to lead these people. And so you can be set free from the cycle, but the devil can still try to draw you back in. It's a choice. Joab is set free from the cycle, but something happens. 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12. Abner, and now at this time you need to understand what's going on. Saul, the king, has died in war. And so now Israel and Judah are divided. Saul's son is leading Israel. David has become king over Judah. Ishbosheth, Saul's son, was king over Israel. Now it says here, Abner, the son of Ner, and the servants of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, they went out from Mahanaim to Gibeon. And Joab, the son of Zariah, you know why that's important? You know who Zariah was? Zariah was David's sister. Joab is David's nephew. It says, Joab, the son of Zariah, and the servants of David went out and met them by the pool of Gibeon. So they sat down, one on one side of the pool and one on the other side of the pool. Then Abner said to Joab, he's the leader of Israel's army, he's the commander. He says, let the young men now arise and compete before us. Let them fight. And Joab said, let them arise. So they arose and they went over by number, 12 from Benjamin, followers of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and 12 from the servants of David. And each one grasped his opponent by the head and thrust his sword into his opponent's side. So they fell down together. Therefore, that place was called the Field of Sharp Swords, which is in Gibeon. So there was a very fierce battle that day, and Abner and the men of Israel were beaten before the servants of David. Now the three sons of Zariah were there, Joab and Abishai and Asahel. And Asahel was as fleet as foot as a wild gazelle. So it says Asahel pursued Abner. Abner goes on the run. They start losing. He goes on the run. And in going, he did not turn to the right hand or to the left from following Abner. Then Abner looked behind him and he said, are you Asahel? He answered, I am. This is a crazy conversation to have while you're sprinting through a forest. It's amazing, like the stamina. Like, I'm impressed. I can't talk when I'm jogging. And Abner said to him, turn aside to your right hand or to your left and lay hold of one of the young men and take his armor for yourself. But Asahel would not turn aside from following him. So Abner said again to Asahel, turn aside from following me. Why should I strike you to the ground? He didn't want to do it. How then could I face your brother Joab? However, he refused to turn aside. Therefore, Abner struck him in the stomach with the blunt end of the spear so that the spear came out of his back. What's he doing? He's running. He takes his spear. Asahel's running right behind him, and he just sticks it, and Asahel's running so fast, it spears him right through, all the way through to his back, and he fell down there and died on the spot. So it was that as many as came to the place where Asahel fell down and died, they stood still. 2 Samuel 2, verse 24, Joab and Abishai also pursued Abner. And the sun was going down when they came to the hill of Ammah, which is before Gia by the road by the wilderness of Gibeon. Now the children of Benjamin gathered together behind Abner and became a unit and took their stand on top of the hill. Then Abner called to Joab and said, shall the sword devour forever? Do you not know that it will be bitter in the latter end. It's a prophetic warning to Joab. It will be bitter in the end. How long will it be then until you tell the people to return from pursuing brethren? It'll be bitter in the end. The devil knows if he can get you in a tight spot, if he can get you in distress, then he can get you into discontentment. And if he can get you to aim your discontentment towards God, the only one who can actually deliver you, then he can keep you here in the cycle. And if you're discontent, you'll seek the world to find contentment because you refuse to find it through Christ, because you've put the blame upon him. But he's the only one who can set you free. And so that means you spend above and beyond, and you go into debt to the world to chase a feeling or a moment of escape, which then puts you in a place that you cannot pay back. And as your debt grows, your distress grows. And as your distress grows, your discontentment grows. And it's a never-ending cycle. But God wants to break you free today. Let him break you free today. So how do we break the cycle? There was a prophetic warning. There was a prophetic warning that Abner gave to Joab. It will end in bitterness. How do we break the cycle? Number one, worship. David was a man who worshiped. Even in the cave, he worshiped. Even in war, he worshiped. Even in betrayal, he worshiped. Worship will keep you from growing bitter. Worship. Number two, the word. David knew the word. He wrote the word. He meditated on the word. He spoke the word. Get into the word. Number three, wisdom. There's wisdom in the word. When you're in the word, you know wisdom. Wisdom flowed throughout David's life because he knew the word. He meditated on it, and he spoke it. Wisdom will keep you out of the cycle. When you walk in wisdom, you walk away from the world. If you don't know where to start, if you feel like you're stuck in this cycle today, open up Proverbs. I felt stuck in the cycle this past week. All I did was I opened up Proverbs. I gave you a great one right here, Proverbs 8. Listen as wisdom calls out. Hear as understanding raises her voice. On the hilltop along the road, she takes her stand at the crossroads. By the gates at the entrance to the town, on the road leading in, she cries aloud, I call to you, to all of you. I raise my voice to all people. You simple people, use good judgment. You foolish people, show some understanding. Listen to me. For I have important things to tell you. Everything I say is right. When you open up the word, everything the word says is right. For I speak the truth and detest every kind of deception. If there's any kind of deception in your life right now, the Lord detests it. If you think, oh, it's just a white lie. Oh, I'm just telling my kids, you know, Santa's real. It's just like a nice little thing for them. No. Sorry, I don't buy that. Like, that's deception. Like, sorry, there's somebody in here that's like, that's offensive. Well, sorry. Stop deceiving your kids. Because then all of a sudden they're like, well, I can't, someday they're going to be like, oh, I can't believe my mom and dad about Santa. Well, maybe I can't believe them about the word. Maybe I can't believe them about who Jesus is. No. Just don't let there even be any slight deception in your life. I feel like that was kind of a hard one for somebody in here. I love you. The Lord loves you. Take it, chew on it for a little bit. If you don't like it, that's fine. Take it up with him. My advice is wholesome. There is nothing devious or crooked in it. Some of you justify things that you do because you say, oh, it's just business. Oh, it's just good business. It's just good business practices. No. This is good business right here. When you're obedient to his word, he's going to bless your business in a way that no plan or scheme or act of deception ever could. Walk in obedience and trust him. Leave the bottom line, leave the bottom dollar up to him and trust him. He's good. He's faithful. Choose my instruction rather than silver and knowledge rather than pure gold. Hey, can you imagine that? Can you imagine if somebody put the Bible in front of you and then they set gold or silver right here? Sometimes we just read past these lines and we're just like, oh yeah, that's good, that's good. No. Imagine, what would you actually do? You got gold sitting right here or you got the Bible right here? What are you going to choose? And some of you are like, well, I got another Bible at home. Stop it. Don't. We're not playing games like that. Don't do that. What would you choose? This is what Solomon who had all the gold, all the silver, the richest, the wisest king, this is what he wrote. The son of David, this is what he wrote. Instruction is better than silver. It's better than gold. Wisdom is far more valuable than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with it. I, wisdom, live together with good judgment. You can't have good judgment without wisdom. You can't have wisdom without good judgment. They go together. I know where to discover knowledge and discernment. Some people are out there saying they got discernment, but they don't even know the word. That's a different spirit. That's not the word. That's not the Holy Ghost. You have to get into the word to walk in discernment. All who fear the Lord will hate evil. Some of you, you tolerate evil. If you tolerate evil, you don't fear the Lord. No, it says you will hate evil. Ask the Lord to change your heart. Ask him to teach you to love the things he loves and to hate the things he hates. Ask him that. Some of you, you grew up in a church where it was like, oh, we don't hate. It was just all love, 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 love. No, real love hates what is evil. We despise it. We don't despise the person. We despise the wickedness. We despise the schemes. We despise the unseen powers that are behind the evil that we see in this world. We hate it. Learn to hate what is evil because that's what the Lord hates. What's he say? Therefore, I hate pride and arrogance, corruption, and perverse speech. What's your speech like? What's your speech like? How are you talking? How are you speaking? What are you saying? It might just be a little joke. Oh, it's just a little joke. I'm just hanging out at the water cooler. It's okay. I can just tell a little joke. It's slight. It's just a little. I wouldn't call it perverse. It's more like just dirty. That's perverse. Stop trying to justify it. Just ask him, Lord, please change my heart. Change my heart. Convict me. Common sense and success belong to me. Insight and strength are mine. Some of you, you keep trying to find success apart from him. You cannot find it that you cannot find success that will last, that is eternal, apart from him. You cannot. Because of me, kings reign and rulers make just decrees. Rulers lead with my help and nobles make righteous judgments. I love all who love me. Those who search will surely find me. You got to put the effort in. Just this week, just put the effort in. If you just open this book, you started. You started the search. If you don't know where to start, Proverbs. Go to Proverbs. Just sit in Proverbs. Just begin to search. And guess what? You're going to find wisdom. I have riches and honor, as well as enduring wealth and justice. Some of you, you're complaining that you don't have riches, that nobody honors you, nobody respects you. Well, are you walking in wisdom? Are you walking in wisdom? Are you meditating on wisdom day and night? Stop, like some of you are discontent with where you are right now in life, and that's actually why you're mad and bitter towards God. And God is just saying, you haven't even tried. You haven't even searched for me. If you would just search for me, if you would just open my word, I want to show you the path to take. He wants to show you the path to take. He's a good father. He is. Some of you, you're discontent and mad and bitter towards him because of where you are. You don't have riches. You don't have honor. Like, you don't even care about sitting in his presence. If you would just sit in his presence, all of that would become secondary anyway. It would. Because what you find when you're in his presence is like nothing in this world can offer. What you find when you're in his presence, you begin to realize the things you've been chasing is actually just pavement in heaven. The things you've been chasing is just pavement in heaven. That's it. My gifts are better than gold, even the purest gold. My wages are better than sterling silver. I walk in righteousness and paths of justice. Those who love me inherit wealth. I will fill their treasuries. The Lord formed me from the beginning. Before he created anything else, he knew you. He formed you. I was appointed in ages past at the very first before the earth began. You were appointed for this time, for such a time as this. You're here for a reason. Some of you are like, oh, I wish I lived in this decade or this time. It'd be so simpler. No, you were called for this time. You were called and created for this time. He knew you in your mother's womb. He appointed you for this time in this age. I was born before the oceans were created, before the springs bubbled forth their waters, before the mountains were formed, before the hills I was born. Before he had made the earth and fields and the first handfuls of soil, I was there when he established the heavens and when he drew the horizon of the oceans. I was there when he set the clouds above, when he established springs deep in the earth. I was there when he set the limits of the seas so they would not spread beyond their boundaries, and when he marked off the earth's foundations. I was the architect at his side. I was his constant delight, rejoicing always in his presence. Wisdom has been there from the very beginning. How happy I was with the world he created. How I rejoiced with the human family. And so my children, listen to me. For all who follow my ways are joyful. Follow the ways of wisdom. Learn to listen to his voice. Listen to instruction. Be wise. Don't ignore it. Joyful are those who listen to me, watching for me daily at my gates, waiting for me outside my home. For whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. But those who miss me injure themselves. All who hate me love death. Seek wisdom. Worship team, would you come up as we get ready to close? Just seek wisdom. He wants to bring you into the open places. He wants to bring you into the broad places. Wisdom was there in the very beginning. When you give your life to Jesus, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, wisdom comes to dwell within you. The mind of Christ dwells within you. That's what it says in Scripture. Don't you want that? Don't you want to listen to his voice, to know his thoughts, to know his ways? Get to know him, to meditate on his word. He was there in the very beginning. Later on in 2 Samuel, Abner comes to make peace with David. He realizes David is the one true king. He wants to come and serve under him. He wants to bring peace to all of Israel, to bring unity. And so he goes, and it says that they make a covenant with each other, that David will be their king and that he will rule over everything. And so David sent Abner safely on his way. But it says in chapter 3, verse 22, that when David had sent Abner away in safety, Joab and some of David's troops were returning from a raid. And when Joab arrived, he was told that Abner had just been there visiting the king and had been sent away in safety. Joab rushed to the king and demanded, "What have you done? What do you mean by letting Abner get away?" Which, by the way, somebody told Joab, somebody was trying to stir things up. And so if you got one of those people in your life, don't give them an ear anymore. If they're just trying to get you mad, trying to get you angry, trying to get you bitter, trying to keep you in that place, the devil is using them to try to keep you there in that place. Don't give them an ear anymore. Somebody did that to Joab, got him all stirred up, and he goes to the king and he says, "What have you done? What do you mean by letting Abner get away? You know perfectly well that he came to spy on you and find everything you're doing." It says, Joab then left David and sent messengers to catch up with Abner, asking him to return, and they found him at the well of Sarah, and they brought him back, though David knew nothing about it. And when Abner arrived back at Hebron, Joab took him aside at the gateway as if to speak with him privately. But then he stabbed Abner in the stomach and killed him in revenge for killing his brother, Asahel. He hadn't let go of the bitterness. He hadn't let go of the desire of revenge. If there's somebody that you keep seeking to see their fall, that you want to see revenge, that you want to see justice, you want to see it, I'm telling you, don't go the way of Joab. It was David's nephew also that had died that day at the hands of Abner. David knew that. But David wasn't holding on to that anymore. It says when David heard about what Joab had done, he said this, "I vow by the Lord that I and my kingdom are forever innocent of this crime against Abner, son of Ner." Joab and his family are the guilty ones. May the family of Joab be cursed in every generation with a man who has open sores or leprosy, or who walks on crutches, or dies with a sword, or begs for food. So Joab and his brother Abishai killed Abner because Abner had killed their brother Asahel at the Battle of Gibeon. Joab had been freed from the cycle of debt, distress, and discontentment, but he made a choice to go back in. What choice are you going to make today? Are you going to keep holding on to it? Are you going to stay in this cycle day after day, year after year? Or are you going to step out and walk in freedom today? It was years later. Years later that Joab defected to Adonijah, it says in 1 Kings 2. And it says that he fled to the tabernacle of the Lord and he took hold of the horns of the altar, because David had appointed his son, King Solomon, to be king, and Joab had disagreed with the choice. He was rebellious. And so there he is by the altar. And Solomon sent Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and he said, go strike him down. So Benaiah went to the tabernacle of the Lord and said to him, thus says the king, come out. And he said, no, but I will die here. And Benaiah brought back word to the king. And the king said to him, do as he said. You'll have what you say. And strike him down and bury him, that you may take away from me and from my house and my father the innocent blood which Joab shed. It was years later that the words David had spoken came true at the altar. So the Lord will return his blood on his head, because he struck down two men more righteous and better than he, and he killed them with the sword. Abner, the son of Ner, the commander of the army of Israel, and Amasa, the son of Jether, the commander of the army of Judah. Though my father David did not know it, their blood shall therefore return upon the head of Joab and upon the head of his descendants forever. But upon David and his descendants, upon his house, upon his throne, there shall be peace forever from the Lord. So Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, went up and struck and killed him, and he was buried in his own house in the wilderness. And it says, the king put Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, in the place over the army. He became the new commander. Benaiah and Joab were both in the cave all the way back in the wilderness with David, when David prophesied and spoke life over these men, and men broke free from the cycle of debt, distress, and discontentment. They both had been broken free. They'd both been set free. But one chose to go back. One chose to go back. And because of that, his life and his line was cut off. And one chose to stay faithful and stay free from the cycle. And because of that, he was promoted. Let him break you out of the cycle today and never go back. In the name of Jesus, never go back. Would you stand up as we worship him? Our ministry team is going to be up here. If you want to step out of the cycle today, if you want prayer for whatever it is you've been stuck in, you've been trapped in, and you just feel like you've been going around and around fighting the same battles and losing the same battles year after year, I just want to tell you, he wants to set you free today. Just say yes to him. And if you feel like you've been tempted to go back into bitterness, to go back into those places, and you just want to say, no, Lord, I just want prayer for strength to keep saying no, that I'll never go back. And come forward for prayer in this moment. Let us be a people that will walk in freedom and live in freedom all the days of our lives. And let us never go back, in the name of Jesus. Let's worship him.